Hello, everybody. We're back today with another interesting guest, keeping up our promise to share more industry insights from the people at the Coalface. It gives me immense pleasure to introduce Simon Long, Director of Technology Strategy and Transformation at CBRE Asia Pacific. So Simon, the real estate industry has seen some major disruptions over the years, right? Especially the last three or so. Shifts in business models, technology use, and so on. So what, according to you, is the future outlook of tech-led innovation in the industry?
Real estate, when you think about it, encompasses commercial real estate. So we have our offices and buildings there. We've got retail. We have hospitality. And across the whole estate, what we're seeing is a shift away from what was through hybrid working and now the world of work that we have now to what we will see. And that is around experience, efficiency, and environment. So where are we headed? When we think about commercial real estate and our offices, we really need that experience to bring people together. It needs to be a really good experience. That's what's going to keep the culture and bond of companies coming together. Because of the ebbs and flows in utilization, it needs to be efficient, not just efficient in terms of the way that we occupy and use that space, but from a sustainability perspective. If we can optimize those systems to be more efficient, so when we're in the office and it's 30% full at that time, we're not using 100% power. That's efficiency. And that steps forward to the other big goal and driver for the changes to real estate ahead, which is around sustainability and environment.
So can you talk us through some of the benefits? You know, you have some interesting use cases that you shared earlier as well. And more than the benefits, more importantly, the challenges of a data-driven approach to change.
One of the things that has happened through the last few years is an awakening in businesses that they can't follow exactly what their competitors are doing. There is, yes, a common trajectory that everyone is heading down, but each individual organization is going to be taking a slightly different path towards that, taking a different route down the course. I try and liken it to maritime navigation. Each ship is going to go towards the same destination, but the wind and the waves are going to push them in slightly different directions. They're going to stop at different times, and no two ships are going to take the same course, but they are both going towards the same destination. Data-driven decision-making allows an organization to look at its own data to chart that course. And if they are going down the right route, use that data to back up that decision. And if they make a change, change in course, a change in direction, again, the data that they are collecting says whether that was the right decision, whether that's maybe not working, and you need to make another change. Businesses are now leveraging that data to make those decisions as quickly as possible, as efficiently as possible. But coming on to your points about challenges, the number one challenge to an organization is, first of all, understanding what data they already have. And that is the first education exercise. And what we've discovered working with clients recently is that organizations have way more data than they actually realize. They have a lot more that they can use. And why is that? It's because the second challenge, it's siloed. So we have people like facility management, have a lot of interesting information about the energy consumption that's being used, the systems that are being used, general occupancy around security systems that have been installed. They have a lot of that data. And then we have the IT teams, and they can actually tell you how many people are logged in to the network, how many corporate devices are online. Well, hang on, if we matched badge data from FM with IT data about who's online, we're starting to clarify that picture. Maybe we don't need to put extra information collection systems in place. And then the third set of data actually sits with HR. They have massive amounts of data, so they can say, well, that badge actually belongs to this department. So between, you know, rationalizing down the number of people that are actually in, when they come in with the security data, and which department that is from HR, three different organizations that don't like to share and collaborate on data, we suddenly have a great picture about potentially what is happening and who's coming in when. And even on multi-floor buildings where you might have three or four floors, where they're working. So we can already begin to get good insights by understanding what you've got, breaking down the silos and matching different sets of data together. So some of the other challenges that come around with that are things like security concerns, data privacy. But if we take an open mindset towards the outcomes and we get people talking, we can break down those challenges and get some really good outcomes.
Given new real estate trends, especially in workplaces, there is a greater need for collaboration between facilities management, HR, and IT. How far are we from actually achieving that?
One of the interesting things to me is through the rise of all these systems that we look at from technology is we've seen the emergence of what we call a master systems integrator. So that is somebody that is responsible at a contractual level for interconnecting all these disparate systems. What I think we need in the industry is the emergence of a role internally in companies and organizations that does exactly this with an interior view that is saying, akin to the CDO, the CIO type role, but making it very clear what we are here to do is identify your challenges with your data and what the outcomes will bring, and then prioritize, right? Let's identify that the division you work for is not private data. Let's get that out. That means that data can be shared, and here's your process for doing it. Here's your policy, and this is the outcomes that we'll get. And that is more important than this initiative over there. That will really help to drive down break down these silos in a organized control manner.
At Ecosystem, our research shows that hybrid work is definitely here to stay. In Asia Pacific, 66% of knowledge workers want to work both from the office and the home. Contrary to popular views, only about a quarter of employees are actually happy to work from home all the time, right? So this obviously has an impact on leadership, culture, HR practices of the organization. I know that I should be talking to you more about technology, but I want to talk to you a little bit about, you know, the business challenges and where the shifts are happening there as well.
We have a diverse, multi-generational workforce now. You have your Gen X's, who are in the workplace, who are actively seeking technology-free time, confers to Gen Z. What I think offices need to move towards is something very different that brings people together. It has all the right tools and collaboration zones that allow in-person interactive collaboration as much as they allow hybrid remote collaboration. They also need to bring more than just that requirement. We need, those spaces need to be flexible for things like social interaction, for town halls, community events, to bring people together for culture.
Obviously, when the crisis hit, organizations spent a lot on what they call digital workplace technologies, right? And now they think, and if you look at technology providers as well, they have stopped developing, many have stopped developing their solutions as well, the collaboration tools. Now the entire focus of this, tech investments in workplace is going to be on bringing them back to the office. So how does the focus change? Like for you, how does that focus change from collaboration to culture?
Understanding the culture of the company and the way that people want to work is just as important for a workplace design and interior design, things like adjacencies, as it is for technology. When people are saying they struggle to collaborate, we're listening with a different set of ears to think, is that because your team of five, two people are remote, three people are in the office. Three people are in the office working on a whiteboard that two people can't see and can't contribute to. We're looking at it from those perspectives to understand what the challenges are. And each of those challenges is unique to each organization because of each organization's different culture. But is that going to drive in-person collaboration? No. You've given them a tool to maintain that hybrid working. But what if you turned around at a business and said, well, my decision is I actually want people to focus on single-person work, one-person focus work remotely, and I want collaboration in-person in the office as my driver. You don't give them that tech. And what you do at a cultural level is you say to people, we want you to go and work remotely, but this is the type of work that we want you to do remotely. And when you collaborate, we have all this great collaboration technology in the office. Come into the office. Come into the office to collaborate. Collaborate with your coworkers. Collaborate with your clients. Bring them in here for that work. And then technology aligns to that focus. And that helps to drive a different culture, a different area of collaboration. And people get used to, when I work alone, I'm in my focus zone, I work remotely. And when I'm collaborating, I'm talking to people, it's this. Now, the wonderful thing about that is that dynamically fits with the type of work that people do in your organization. You will have some very focused workers who do a lot of single person, single focus work. And then you will have a lot of collaborators. And you can use that to then blend the two teams together using data, as we said before, to understand and then rechart the direction that you want to take. But all of it is driven by culture and where the business wants to go, rather than what technology can offer.
Let's talk a little bit about sustainability. So what business and technology trend are you seeing in that space, Simon?
The general trend is 40% of global CO2 emissions are real estate industry. Of that 40%, 30% is the construction of buildings and 70% is the operation of buildings. So that gives us two very clear areas to take a look at, construction and operation, with operation obviously being the larger share of that. So we're focusing a lot on the efficiency of those buildings and where we need to optimize those systems. So, and efficiency and environment is exactly as one of two of the three E's that we said that we need to take a look at. A smart building and smart systems generate data. And again, data-driven decision-making allows us to make more intelligent choices about how we can better optimize and bring efficiency to those systems. The other thing that we always have to bear in mind, however, is experience. The most energy efficient, optimized building, I close the blinds, I turn the lights off, and I turn off the cooling. It's hot and dark. So that is not conducive to a great experience. It's very energy efficient, but it's not an experience that is going to bring you back to the office. What data allows us to do is optimize those systems as efficiently as possible while maintaining that balance between an experience that allows people to work and is still environmentally beneficial, which is a big key to those operational efficiencies of that 70%. First steps are build to allow you to collect that data, collect the data, optimize, review the data, keep doing good things that bring that down, and then balance that against the experience to make sure that we're not impacting any experience too negative that we will impact their actually return to the office. So that's where we need to head, and we're seeing that come into a lot of those certifications around LEED, BREEAM, and Greenmark. So that's already coming in from a technology perspective to allow us to achieve those goals.
Simon, this has been an absolute pleasure, and thank you so much for your time and for all the valuable insights. I have a funny feeling that we're going to be doing this again soon.